will teach you all things, will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and not be afraid. He also probably said something about Acts chapter 2, verse 4, where it says the apostles were given the gift of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. And then Acts chapter 2, verse 38, Peter said, replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19, they were warned, "Do not quench or stifle or put out the fire of the Holy Spirit." And so some of the things that you probably talked about last week, and if you didn't, then come ask me or ask somebody else. But the Holy Spirit is something that is real and alive in this world today. And it was left to us by Jesus Christ whenever He left this earth so that we have a bit of God with us today. But you know, whenever I grew up in the Church of Christ. I went to church every Sunday. Bruce was just talking about that. You know, it was just a daily kind of a thing. I remember, I was baptized young. I learned about the Bible. I ended up going to Bible college. I did all that kind of stuff. And I always thought that whenever I was baptized, this is what I've been taught, that I would be put under the water and I would die to my old life, and I would be raised again to a new life. And I was. At least that's what you tell me. That's what the Bible tells me. But you know what? I got up, I came out, I was on fire, I'm ready to go, I'm ready to do things, ready to act, and what happens? I kept sinning. I kept having problems. I went through a time when I didn't know how to communicate with God. I didn't know how to pray. I went through all these different problems, things going on, and I said to myself, wait a minute, what's this all about? If I have the Holy Spirit, why am I not different? Have you ever asked yourself that? Have you ever looked at another Christian, and you looked at that Christian, and you went, that person says he's a Christian, but look at him. I don't want to be like that person. How can you not want to be like the Holy Spirit? He lives within us. He's part of us. And I came to this conclusion that I needed to be a better person. I just needed to be a better person. And so I tried to do that. And the next thing I discovered was that, well, let me put it this way. Let me give you an example, a real life example. I grew up in Oklahoma, and my dad used to love to play golf. So we used to play golf. He used to go golfing all the time. And from the age of like 10 years old, he had this giant golf bag. And first I would pull it behind a little cart thing like that. And then by the time I was 11 or 12, I would carry this thing, 18 holes. And my job was, everywhere we went, was there was basically, well, not counting carrying the bag, three jobs. One, I had to look for old tees that were on the that people had left behind. I still do that. Second thing is I had to watch his ball. So whenever he hit the ball, I had to be able to know where it went. And if I didn't know where it went, I was in trouble. And then the third thing was that whenever we came to a grassy area or something like that while he was playing, I went over and I looked for balls that had gotten hit over in the rough and nobody could find them. And so I was hoping that I could find a few. So to save him a few bucks, you know. And so I had these jobs that I had to do, and I did that for a long time. And finally in high school, I started playing golf myself. And I loved golf. I really did. And for you that have never played golf, I'm sorry. But it is a great sport. I love it. Out in nature and just walking. And I don't know. It's just wonderful. And I got where I was pretty good. I played a lot. And so whenever I grew up, I got out of college, I just didn't have time. And then it got expensive. I didn't have the money. So I kind of got where I didn't play golf. And since I graduated college, I think I've played golf 15 times, 10, 15 times. Now, mind you, I graduated college a long time ago. All right? And so whenever I graduated college, that was it. And so during that time, I just haven't had the chance to play very much. And so I started playing for a little while with J.D. Wallace, and he and I would play occasionally. And so probably I've probably played, I don't know, the last 10 years, five or six times, you know, and a few times before that with my work. And so it's just a piecemeal here and there. And yesterday I had the chance to play golf. A friend of mine asked me to go play golf. Now, mind you, I love golf, and I know how to play golf. I know all the right stuff. I know exactly how I'm supposed to approach the ball. I know how high I'm supposed to tee up the ball. I know how I'm supposed to swivel my hips like the ball, you know, to hit it. I know how to do everything just right. I'm good at this stuff. And I've done this. I used to be so good at chipping. And for you that don't know, don't ask. I would hit the ball, and I knew I could put it right where I could roll the ball into the cup lots of times. I was just good. All right? And now I wasn't Chad good, or my brother-in-law, but okay, but I was good. And so I got out there, and I did everything right. I approached the ball just right. I put the ball. I took the practice swings. I did everything like I was supposed to do, and I was an utter failure. I'll just put it that way. The highest score you can get is 127, I think it is. Did I say 120? I wrote down so I wouldn't forget. Well, so I wouldn't lie. Yeah, 127. Okay? And that's because, that's the worst score you can get. You want the lowest score. The highest score, the worst score you can get is 127. And that's only because they cap it at three strokes over. I probably swung 175 times. But I only counted. But I counted. I got 121. 121 out of 127. And I knew all the right stuff. I knew how to do it. I knew what it was supposed to do in my body. And I could not get my body to do what my mind knew it should do. You ever been there? Have you ever known, have you ever known what was right and yet you couldn't do it? That was me. That was the Holy Spirit living in me. I knew He was there. I knew He was active. I knew He was powerful. I knew that He's the advocate that I have to go before God. I know that my Savior came and died to give Him to me. I know everything, and I can't get it to work. I can't do it. And that struggled. I struggled with that for years. You know, and the problem was that I was trying to do it. See, it doesn't come about. It's not like golf. It's not about practice. It's not about doing things right. It's about letting God live through me. And so I struggled with this. And so let's go to a couple scriptures. And I came to Galatians, I came to the scripture in Galatians chapter 5, verses 20 through 24, which some of you probably, somebody out there is going to go, yeah, that's my favorite scripture. I love that scripture. It says this, the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in you, in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law regarding these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus, have... I can't believe I can't see this. It has to do with my not being able to play golf, too, I'm pretty sure. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to His cross and crucified them there. So I went on a journey. The journey took me to hell and back. I had to come to the realization that Eddie couldn't make it. As much as I wanted to, I had to quit doing it. And it was at that point that I was able to come to some other scriptures that I'd probably passed over several times. But it taught me something about God. And one of them was this. It says, turn your life over to God, as we read in Acts chapter 2, that the Holy Spirit came... Well, let me see. In John chapter 6. Verses 63 through 68. says this, the Spirit alone gives eternal life. Human effort accomplishes nothing. And the very words I've spoken to you are spirit and life. But some of you do not believe me. For Jesus knew from the beginning which ones didn't believe and who would betray him. And then he said, that's why I said that people can't come to me unless the Father gives them to me. At this point, many of his disciples turned away and deserted him. Then Jesus turned to the 12 and asked, are you going to leave? Do you see a desperate man? A man who is doing God's will, that is the Son of God. And he's sitting there and he just got through feeding 5,000 people. He just was out in the desert and he's giving them, he tells them about that he's the bread of life, and then he gets in the boat and he comes over to the other side, and they're thinking about is food. And Jesus goes, seriously? That's all you can get out of this? And he finally says, that's why people can't come to me unless the Father gives them to me. And the disciples say, well, then we don't want to have part of it. And a lot of his disciples just turned and left. And Jesus turns to his 12 and says, are you going to leave? And Simon Peter, I love Simon. Simon Peter said this, Lord, to whom will we go? You have the words to give eternal life. I had to get to the point where I was desperate. Where when God came to me and he asked me, he says, Eddie, are you going to leave? I had to go, where am I going to go? Jesus, you have eternal life. I'm sticking with you. It had to quit being about Eddie. It had to quit being about what I'm doing in my life. And it had to become about what Jesus was doing for me in my life. It meant about letting Jesus live through my life. It meant about letting the Holy Spirit be a part of my life. So I'm going to say there's three things I learned about being part of the Holy Spirit and about my journey in trying to find the Holy Spirit in my life. And first of all is that you can't have the Holy Spirit within in you and not talk to Him. You got to talk to God. You got to talk to the Holy Spirit. You got to let the Spirit know what you're thinking. You got to let the Spirit in on what you need. Now you think, wait a minute, Eddie, I do that. I asked about all kinds of stuff, but I'm gonna beg that you maybe don't think of it quite the same way as you should. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 9 through 13, it says this, Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need and forgive us our sins, for we forgive as we have forgiven those who sin against us. And don't lead us to temptation. Don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. What is that? Okay, Lord's Prayer, right? How many of you learned that as a kid and know it by heart still? I know that. I've known that scripture for I don't know how long. But you know what it told me? I started reading that scripture and I realized when His Son came down and He told us how to pray, what did He tell me what to do? To quit being selfish. Pray, God, I understand. Give me the bread. I'll put that in your hands. I'll give temptation over to you. Help me to go out and pass it on to other people. God, your will, not mine, be done. Is that how you pray? I got into a bad habit. That bad habit was the fact that I told God what I needed to. You ever been there? God, help me out of this financial situation. God, help me pass this test. God, help me get my driver's license. God, help me this, give me that, save me from that. You know when I prayed the most? When I prayed the most was whenever I'd gotten myself into the worst circumstances, right? I got myself into a major issue, and what do? I go to God and I say, okay, God, get me out of it. That was my life. But that's not what God wants. God wants us to turn our life over to Him, pray to Him and say, God, show me what I need to do for you. Show me how I need to act. Show me what I need to do. Help me get rid of the temptation that's in my life. Show me how to do that. I've got problems with anger. Show me how to get out of that and come in and relieve me from that. I've got problems with patience. I've got problems with resentments. I've got problems with all this stuff. God, I'm turning this over to you. Is that how you pray? We need to talk to God. We need to talk to the Holy Spirit, and we need to turn the things over and say, here I am. Send me. Have you ever thought about this? That's one of the scariest prayers I've ever had in my life. Here I am, send me. Because if you really mean it, you know what God will do? What will He do? Okay, say it. He will send me, right? That's what He'll do. Now what if I don't want to go there? What if I don't want to go down to wherever? I don't want to go to the people down, those annoying people next door. What if I don't want to go help the helpless, the homeless? What if I don't want to do that kind of stuff? What if I wanted... what I do, I pray to God. I say, God, help me to go next door to my neighbor. Not my nasty, noisy, bothersome neighbor. Help me go to the neighbor I like next door over here. Help me be a good example. I'll generalize it. No, we have to be willing to pray in the Spirit. Turn it over to God and let God be the one to lead. The second thing we got to do, and this is probably a harder one, and some of the scriptures I had for that last one, incidentally, just to throw it out there, was Ephesians chapter 6, 18. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on all occasions. Stay alert and persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. In James chapter 3, 2 and 3, you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. And even when you do ask, this is what I was saying, you don't get it because your motives are wrong. You only want what gives you pleasure. You only want what's going to build up your ego. Second thing, listen to God. You got to pray to Him, but then you got to listen for Him. Doesn't do me any good just to pray to God if I'm not going to listen to God. Mark chapter 4, verse 21 through 25, it says, then Jesus asked them, would anyone light a lamp and then put it under a basket or under a bed? Well, of course not. A lamp's placed on a stand where its light will shine. For everything that is hidden will eventually be brought into the open, and every secret will be brought to light. And anyone who hears with ears to hear should listen and understand. Then he added, now this is in the scripture. Pay close attention to what you hear. The closer you listen, the more you understand, the more understanding will be given to you, and you will receive even more. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given. And for those who are not listening, even less understanding. What little understanding they have will be taken away from them. Are you listening to God? Are you stopping for a few minutes and listening to God? I've heard people say it. It put this way, that sometimes we need to stop and listen for God's guidance. Well, somebody says, well, we should get everything out of the Scripture. I agree. Are you going to the Scripture then? Whenever you ask those questions and you say, God, guide me, or do you go to the Scripture? But I'll tell you what. I am convinced in my heart that I have a Holy Spirit that's dwelling inside of me, and if I will be quiet and I will listen, He will guide. It's up to you. Got to listen to God. Let Him be your guidance. And finally, got to talk to God, got to listen to God, but then you got to be willing to let God act through you. That's probably the hardest part, isn't it? We talked about it in class today, this whole idea of letting God be God. You have to let God work through you. The Sermon on the Mount. What do you think the Sermon on the Mount is all about? The Sermon on the Mount was not about loving your enemies. Of course you want to love your enemies, and that is part of it. But it's about changing your heart. It's not about not worrying about how much you have. It's about changing your heart. It's not about the right way to pray. It's about changing your heart. It's about letting God live through you. And that's what he's talking about when it comes to the Sermon on the Mount. And I will argue that if you let the Sermon on the Mount says that you can be perfect as your Father is perfect if you will do what he asks and let him live through you. The second thing is just James. I just wrote down James. Go to it. James just like blows me away. Because he says it's about actions. He says it's not enough for me to say, go and be healed. Go and have plenty of food. It's not enough to do that. If whenever I go and then I leave and I go home to my meal and let you guys starve, would that be right? No, everybody in here goes, no, that's not right. You know? But isn't that the way I live? Not because I'm necessarily doing anything that's harmful. It's because I say, God, I want you to work through me. I want you to live through me. I want you to do things through me. I want you to change me. I want you to help me. And then I turn around and I go, but don't mess up with my life. Don't change the things that I've got going for me. Don't make me leave this job. Don't send me to a different city or a different country. Don't make me have to go and confront somebody or talk to somebody. You know, but aside from that, come live through me. Isn't that how we live? No, we can't say one thing and do something else. Listen, you talk to God, you listen to God, and then you act on what he teaches you. Remember, and this is how I'll close. Paul talks about this in Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7, it says Paul knew what he should be doing. And he says, the things that I'm trying to do are the things I can't do, and the things I'm not supposed to be doing, those are the things I'm doing. What a wretched man I am. I feel like that. Sometimes I go, why? Why can't I figure it out? Why can't I get that golf swing down right? You know? He says, this is my life. Relate. Don't you see? But did Paul lie in that bed and just lay in that pain? Did he run out and commit suicide because it was hopeless? What did he do? Well, let's continue reading because it doesn't end there. It goes in this and it says, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Thank God. That answer is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. So you see how it is. In my mind, I really want to obey God, God's law, but because of my sinful nature, I'm a slave to sin. So what am I going to do? Now there is no condemnation. This is how he's got it figured out. Now there is no condemnation because for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to him, the power, listen carefully, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of the sin that leads to death. That's really how it all came about. You know, my finding the Holy Spirit. Do I do it right? I wish I could just sit here and say, I've got it all figured out. Just come see me. You know, I can't do that. But now I think I'm starting to catch a little bit of a glimmer. A little bit of an idea of what God really wants for me. I'm finally starting to change the way I pray. I'm finally starting to take a little bit of time to listen. Though I don't always like what I hear, I take a little time to listen. And I try to do what it is that I hear. What I read in the Scripture. How he communicates with Eddie. So I want to leave you here today with what are you going to do? Do you want those fruits of the Holy Spirit? I didn't read the part right before. The part right before that said, you know, while you should be acting like this, guess how you're still acting? You're still doing all the rotten things you were doing before. You're just maybe not doing it as much. You're still the same person you were before, only now you're going to church. So you're the same person that used to be angry, and you're still angry. You're the same person that used to not have patience, and you still don't have patience. Do you want patience? Do you want love? Do you want all the gifts of the Holy Spirit? Then you got to let the Holy Spirit live through you. And so that's my prayer for you today. If I can help in any way, you can always come talk to me. But right now we're going to stand and sing.